Good morning. Those of you who come to this Mass every year know what to expect. Others may be a little surprised. People are used to coming to the Christmas Eve Masses, expect to hear the familiar Gospel of Luke about the census and the journey to Bethlehem, in the stable, in the birth, in the angels, in the shepherds. But the Mass during the day proclaims the beginning of the Gospel of John. The two work together. That's why we have a midnight Mass and a Mass during the day. In the old days, monasteries and such used to celebrate them both. Everybody was there for one and then got a few hours sleep and then rose up again and did the other. Because both are important. And both help us understand what day it is that we celebrate. The Gospel read last night provides the human dimension of the birth of Christ. Little details that tell us how far God stretches in becoming flesh. Born of a couple not yet married. Born in a home away from home. Born and laid in a manger. That's a euphemism. It's a polite French word. It means feed box. Manger. Animals eat out of it. They slobber in it. It's not the place you would lay your child had you a choice. It talks about how far down into our world the Word comes. In simple, verisimilitudinous details. The Gospel of John, the one that we've just read, takes a longer picture and a more poetic stance. That's why we read it first in Greek. Even if you don't know a word of Greek, you can hear the poetry to it. En archein hologos, kai hologos ein proston theon, kai theon ein hologos. The roll and the cadence of it tells you something. And then we read it a second time in English so that we can hear the details. It starts out extolling the dignity of the Word. The Word was with God. Everything that was made through the Word. Nothing was made without the Word. The Word is the light that enlightens everyone. The Word is with God in the beginning. But then, just as that first line begins so sonorously, en archein hologos, same rhythm, second stanza halfway through, kai hologos sarxe genitor, and the Word became flesh. That doesn't say the Word became man, kai hologos aner genitor, or even human being, kai hologos anthropos genitor. It says the Word became flesh. Sarx. This is the Greek word for the messy side of our existence. Fleshiness. The flesh that never does exactly what you want it to do. The flesh that gets sick when you don't have time to get sick. The flesh that gets full of anger when anger is not really appropriate. The flesh that gets weak when you need to be strong. The difficult side of human existence. The Word became flesh. The Word took on the fullness of our humanity. That one Word encompasses all the things that the little details, like being laid in a feed box, tell us in symbol in Luke. They're both making the same point. That God loves us enough to give the Word completely into our hands. To be completely one with us. To completely a part of our existence. And in so doing, this wonderful exchange is begun on which the fathers of the church talk incessantly. He became completely who we are, in order that we might become completely who He is. Because Jesus has become fully human, because the Word has become fully flesh, we may actually dare to hope to become fully divine. That as He joins Himself to us, He joins us to the Father. That as He becomes perfectly one with us, He makes us perfectly one with God. And therefore we rejoice that He has indeed become not man, not human being, but flesh. We rejoice that He was laid in a feed box. We rejoice that He has gotten as far down into human existence as one can get, so that we can get as full up into divine existence as one can get. We therefore adore very quietly this infant laid to rest in a feed box, and spark the hope that as He has come that far down, He may lift us that far up. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.